Pastor Pete and Deb Miller have sent a greeting to us this morning, and they just would love to say hello on this very, very special day. So let's receive their greeting and their blessing in Jesus' name.
Hello, Pastor Jim and Mary Lee and church family at Living Waters. We had such a great time with all of you just recently in the sending off of Pastor Jack and Sandy and them meeting your new pastoral family. So we celebrate with you this time of the year as you are just continuing to serve the Lord and throughout the decades of being together as a local assembly. As your founding pastors, we are just so grateful to God for all the years that we have watched you grow as a local church, and then to watch the labor of love and the work of faith and the steadfast of hope that you carry as a living witness in the community of Leroy and the surrounding area. You truly carry the grace of God as a church, and we're so happy for you for all these years that you continue to serve the Lord. So we pray that you continue to be a bright, burning torch of the witness of Jesus in the land. We are praying for you, and we're so honored to continue to stand with you together in serving the Lord. God bless you. We love you dearly.
We love you.
Amen. Amen. Let's appreciate the founding pastors of our house and all the good things that God is doing in them. They are currently pastoring at Friends of the Cross Church in Corning, New York, and they are looking for transition to be happening there in the not-too-distant future as well. And so we just want to continue to bless them and thank God for them. As we think about the founding of this church, there are a couple of people that were there when this was happening. I don't know if you're aware of that, our sister Ann Rumfola, and Ann, are you here? Or did you slip out to? Well, there you are, right up front. Ann, would you stand so we could honor you? Would you do that? Well, you were a founding member here. You stay standing for just a minute. Because not only in the front of the church, but all the way in the back of the church, we have another founding member of the church, Mary Cortez. Would you stand up, because you also were there? These are two bookends on the fellowship right here. Come on and bless them just a little bit more and say, thank God for you. We learned last week that Tom and Lori Roth were also founding members. I said, how long have you been in this church? And they said, well, we prayed it into existence. We felt it needed to be a work of God here. And I know Tom's schedule is a little bit crazy, but are you folks here today? Or Lori's here. Would you stand on behalf of the household? And oh, she's a teacher. Okay. We're always serving. All right. And we don't know. Maybe I understand Don Schaefer also, who is a shut-in, is still a part of our fellowship and is a founding member. Is there anybody else? Am I missing anyone? I don't mean to slight you in any way, but are you here and you're like, yeah, I remember the roots of this thing. Don Derrick was also a founding member. So praise the Lord. Let's applaud each of those individuals and thank God for them. Amen. Yeah, so this has been here for a while, right? We didn't just pop up overnight, but it has started. And then, of course, when Pastor Pete and Deb came to conclusion in their ministry, Pastor Jack and Sandy Hefling came, and as you know, many of you came in under their ministry, and they served a beautiful 20 years here as lead pastors. And then just most recently have transitioned to YWAM in Denver area of Colorado. And so Pastor Jack and Sandy have also sent a greeting to us this morning. Let's hear from them right now and let's receive their blessing.
Hey, good morning, Living Waters Church. Greetings from Arvada, Colorado. And We are getting settled in, but I want to share a scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. It's at the end of the chapter that goes all into all these incredible heroes of the faith and all the amazing things they did because of their faith. But then it says this at the end of that chapter, Hebrews 11, 39 says this, and all of these, everybody they mentioned from Adam on up to the New Testament, all of these having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. That's amazing. Then the next verse says, they did not receive what was promised because God provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And it just struck us how, you know, all these incredible people of faith, though they saw amazing things happen by God in their lives, many of the things that have been promised to them, they didn't personally experience. It was the promises were passed on to the next generation, and further generations brought them forward and more forward and further along the journey. So we're just like, this is an amazing principle that applies to us at Living Waters as well.
Yeah, and absolutely. I know that it was in Pete's heart when he first planted the church that he would be in the middle of town, and he didn't see that happen, but we got to do that. So every pastor has had his part in the continuum of the vision that God had. There's an old book by Irwin McManus, and it's called Seizing Your Divine Moment. And this is a divine moment in the history of Living Waters Church. And we're so thankful that God brought Jim and Mary Lee along to continue the forward movement of what God really has for Living Waters and the people of Living Waters and the people he's going to bring to Living Waters. So we're just grateful. Embrace where you are now. Become a part of that team now to see God's the fulfillment of other promises that were even in our heart that we haven't seen yet.
And there's a little two-letter word in that passage I read, us. That's so important because it isn't just about the transition of pastors. It's about the purposes of God and that he has for the kingdom and for the Church of Living Waters cannot happen without us working together. That's everybody in the body of Christ doing their part to build it up. So bless you. Hope that encourages you.
And we are so thankful. And we know this is a kickoff Sunday. So bless you guys. We love
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and love on them a little bit. I know you do. I know you love them and appreciate them. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how many of you came into Living Waters during the tenure of Pastor Jack and Sandy, all around the, wow, look at this. Take a look around for a minute and look at the eternal difference that has been made by this beautiful couple as God used them for his glory. And may God multiply that, right? As we not only rejoice, or not only review, but can we rejoice in what the Lord has already done over these years? Can we just thank him? Can we really just say, Lord, amen. Father, we want to just stop right now, rejoice together, and give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We know that the Millers and the Heflings did not do this for their glory, but they did it for your glory. And because their hearts were pure toward you, their hearts were to see your name made famous. You blessed the life and ministry of this house. And through their leadership and through every one of us partnering together in the work of God, you have advanced this house to the place it is today. But Lord God, we want to also in this moment renew our hope for the future. We know that there were visions and dreams given to leaders in the past and members of this house. They saw far greater things than we have seen thus far. And as that word from Pastor Jack in the book of Hebrews comes to us, thank you, God, for the best that is yet to come for Living Waters Church. Not because of us, but because of you, that your name would be lifted up and glorified. Father, thank you for giving us the privilege of serving you together and working to advance your kingdom for such a time as this. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the journey continues, and part of our renewing right now is I'd like to bring you into the Word of God together. And I want to bring you into the book of Ephesians, and I want to talk to you once again about the church. I love the church. I love the church because Jesus loves the church. The Bible says he loved the church and gave himself for her. If you'll find your Bible, I'm going to turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. And I want to share with you as we begin really officially our ministry among you, Paul's words as he talks about the church of Jesus and how we have come together in the name of the Lord. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." When we sang together earlier, we were rejoicing about how he made a sinner holy and how he pulled us out and set us free, right? The worship team brought these themes to us this morning. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And once you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all, that's every one of us, we all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But look at the beginning of verse number 4 and say it with me. But God. Come on, say it out loud. But God. See, we were dead. We were separated from God because of our sin. We were hiding from him. We didn't know he was pursuing us in love. We thought he was pursuing us in wrath. We thought if he caught us, he'd kill us. But instead, when he caught us, he made us alive, right? And so we were stuck in our darkness. And verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So starting back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul gives us somewhat of a salvation history. He starts with the story of each of our unredeemed condition. We were not alive toward God. We were dead. We were existing in a rebellious life, spiritually darkened, empty, ignorant. Now, some of us, like myself, were totally unrighteous. Others, on the other hand, maybe were very self-righteous. You could be very religious. You could have a lot of things going on and make yourself look pretty good. But the Bible says both self-righteousness and unrighteousness will receive the same condemnation. So in my unrighteousness and fulfilling, as it says, these various desires, we were standing apart from the salvation that God himself was offering to each of us. All of us. But God. Verse number 4. But God. See, there's the turning point of the whole story. We were dead. We were cut off. We were not alive toward God. But he took the initiative. He, why? Because he is rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, he came to us and saved us and raised us and made us sit with him in heavenly places in Christ. So this man, you and me, each of us who were dead in sin, are now raised to life through the power, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are brought into living relationship and intimate fellowship with him. We are our status is changed. We come from this place of being alienated and separated from God to becoming literally a son and daughter of the King. And so the question would be asked, why would God do this? Why would God do this? The answer comes in verse number 7. Watch what it says. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God desires that his grace and his glory would be declared through the life of every person who is redeemed, and particularly through the life of the church of God. You might not think of yourself as a trophy, but that's exactly what you are. You are a trophy. You are a testimony of the grace of God that is found in Jesus Christ. You were dead in trespasses and sins. All of us. None of us were born right. We were all born flawed and fractured by the fall. But God, in his mercy, has redeemed us. Again, there was nothing we could do about it. We were separated from him. There was no way we could change status but God. In fact, look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 as they come up on the screen. It says, when we were without strength, we couldn't do anything about our condition. We were helpless. We were powerless. In due time, Christ died, not for those who were perfect, not for those who were godly and pleasing him, but for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God, there it is again. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, that should just rock your world right there. What kind of love is that, right? What kind of love is it that comes to somebody that is thumbing their nose at him? What kind of love is that that keeps reaching to someone who's running in the opposite direction and wants nothing to do with that love and has scorned that love and trampled that love? This is the love of God toward us. Why? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, talking about us, we who are redeemed, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So what is the purpose? For what purpose did God save us by his grace? For what purpose? What is it? Here it is again. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the reason that through the, not just in the ages to come, but in this age in which we live, you and I are called to proclaim and to show forth how good God is, how great God is. God desires that every person would understand his love for them, his goodness, his grace, and his glory through the church. And so as the church of God, as the house of God, we, the people of God, are consumed with two great passions. The first passion is that we might know him. And the second great passion is that we might make him known. That we would know him more and more and more and more and grow in the knowledge of God and continue in our intimate relationship with him. But then secondly, the passion is that we would make him known to everyone, everywhere. Do you ever stop and think about this? And God says, I want my name to be declared to everybody. I want my name to be made famous. I want my name to be exalted among the nations. We think, wow. You've got a problem. You think you're pretty stuck on yourself, aren't you? You want your name, nobody else, just you. But you see, God is the only being in the universe for whom self-promotion is the loving, selfless act. How is that possible? Listen, because God knows that he is the only one who can satisfy the cry of the human heart. God knows that he's the only one who can satisfy. He's the only one that can fill that void, that Christ-shaped void in people's hearts. So it would not be loving of God if he didn't make his name known throughout the earth. It wouldn't be loving. God would be to himself. He would say, no, I don't want anyone to know. But God wants everyone everywhere to know of his incredible love because he loves them and he knows their fulfillment is found in him and him alone. If you believe that, say amen. Yeah, see, that's the purpose. And so you and I, he are the ones that he wants to use as his church to promote his name in our region, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. So look with me, if you will, at Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. We read it earlier, but I want you to see this. This is powerful. You'll love this. This is worth the price of admission right here. This is good. You're going to like this. For we, that's you and me, that's all of us, watch, we are his what? That's an interesting word, workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That word workmanship is I'm going to say it because I'm not a Greek scholar, but you'll hear a word in a word. It's the word poema. It's from where we transliterate our English word poem. Poema. We are his poem. The word workmanship here has the idea of a work of art. It can be any kind of art. But here, again, we get our word poem from this Greek word. God says we are his poem. We are his love letter that he has written to the world. That he says, I want to say something to people all around you. And so the reason I've written a poem of love for the world. And you're the poem. And so go out and sing the poem. Say the poem. Represent the poem. Let the poem live in and through you. You are my work of art. You are my masterpiece that I want to use to advance my name in this region. So while we would, as I said, transliterate this word poema to mean poem, to the Greeks, it had a much broader connotation. It was any kind of art. It could be poetry or painting. It could be sculpture. It could be song. And so the idea is the church is God's work of art. The church is God's masterpiece. The word poema translates as workmanship is found only one other place in the whole New Testament. So it's found here in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are his workmanship, his church, his new creation. But there is one other place that it's found, and I'll show it to you on Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by poema, understood by the things that are made. That's the same word that we find over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The things that are made, the creation, is God's poem. When God created the heavens and the earth, when God created the expanse of the universe, when God created everything, he said, I'm writing a poem, and this creation, this natural creation, is intended to show my glory. It's intended to say, when people look at the order of creation, when people look at the vastness of it, it is to declare the glory of the Lord. What does Psalm 19 and verse 1 say? The heavens declare, come on, the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So God says, I have written, listen, I have only written two poems. I mean, no, God could write a lot of poems, but he only wrote two. He said, I have written the natural creation as a poem, and I have written the new creation as a poem. I have written the natural creation so that people will look at creation and say, there must be a God. You know that anthropologists in every culture they have ever discovered, the people worshiped something. Now, they might have worshiped a log, they might have worshiped a stone, they might have worshiped an idol, they might have worshiped, but there was worship in every community anthropologists have ever uncovered. Why is that? Because people look at creation and they go, this just could not have just happened. I mean, how silly would it be if you come by, you say, wow, this is a cool building. This used to be a theater. And you say, yeah, it used to be a theater. What happened? Well, one day, you know, everybody in Leroy heard this big explosion. And when they heard this explosion, we all ran over here, and this is what we found. We hit a light switch, and the lights came on, and the chairs were all in place, and the projection worked, and the sound. It was amazing. It just kind of all happened. No, the book of Hebrews says, every house is built by someone, and the builder of all things is God. So God intends, by writing his poem of creation, and that's why I want you to enjoy creation. We have one of the most beautiful seasons of the year coming on us in the fall in Western New York. Can you say amen? We have one of the most gorgeous times to be looking at the creation and to realize that even death can be beautiful when Jesus is overseeing it, right? And there's life on the other side of it. But see, he said, I wrote a poem called Creation, the things that are made. That's what we read. But then he said, I have written a second poem, not the natural creation, but the new creation. Look back at Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are his poem. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. The emphasis of the verse is not on us, it's on him. It's on what he has done. We are his poem. We are his work of art. We are his masterpiece that he has written. For what reason? In the same way that the natural creation is to cause people to go, wow, who is this God? The same way the new creation is to evoke in people this desire to know, who is this God that changed your life? Who is this God that took you from darkness to light? Who? I know what you used to be. I know who you were. What happened to you? And you get to say, well, it really isn't about me at all, but let me tell you about the one who it is about. Let me tell you about the one who changed me and made me new and brought me into a company, into a family of people who have the sole purpose of seeing this whole world come to know him. In fact, tomorrow when you go to work, and somebody says, what did you do yesterday? I want you to look at them and say, I was over in Leroy. There's this old movie theater. They've turned it into something else. And I was with a bunch of people who are planning to take over the world. Just let them know. Just let them know. Just let them know that there's something else. What are you talking about? Well, actually, we serve the one who will. He, in fact, it's his from the start, and it's his now. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the earth will be filled with his glory. The day will come, the Bible tells us. See, it's his work, but it's his work. I had nothing to do with the natural creation. I wasn't there. I wasn't consulted. I wasn't part of it. He did it on his own. He created it. And I had nothing to do with the new creation. The only thing I added to the new creation was my sin. It's the only contribution I made. I brought this broken, fractured life to God. And by his grace and mercy and love and power, he transformed me and changed me. It's totally of him. In fact, when you look at the scripture, you begin to understand that Christ, the Lord Jesus, is the mediator of both the natural creation and the new creation. See, look at this verse from John chapter 1 and verse number 3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on to say, all things were made through him, through Christ. He was the one. In fact, over in Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 16, it's even clearer. For by him, by Christ, All things were created that are in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created through him and for him. Why? To declare his glory, to be his poem, to reveal who he is in his greatness, his vastness, his amazing nature, right? So God, Christ himself, is the mediator of the natural creation, but he's also the mediator of the new creation. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Many of us know this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. How many are happy about that part? Yeah. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. See, this wasn't my work, but I'm in him. In fact, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 says it even more clearly. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the mediator of the natural creation and is the mediator of the new creation. The work of grace that transformed us from death to life and translated us from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light is God's work all by himself. He fashioned both the new creation and the natural creation for the single special purpose of making his glory known through the earth. So we ask the question, how does God make his glory known through the church? Well, one example it would be by the way God saves us. The way God saves us through the preaching of the gospel. Every time we see somebody come to Christ, it gives God a chance to put his glory on display another time. And by the way, have you ever noticed the way God saves people? He doesn't do it stingily. He doesn't do it grudgingly. He doesn't save somebody reluctantly. Oh, no. God saves people lavishly, extravagantly. He doesn't just save a person. He gloriously saves them. He abundantly saves them. See, some people think that if God forgives sin, he wouldn't want that word to be spread around too much, right? We wouldn't want too many people taking advantage of that. But that's not what God says. God says, when I forgive a person, I do it loudly. I let everybody know. I want everyone to know that they've been forgiven. I want everybody to know that they're a new creation. I want everyone to know what has happened in their life. So we think of the story of the prodigal son over in Luke 15. Do you remember that story? This boy went out and lived in rejection and rebellion against the father. And one day he came to himself and he said, I'll come back to my father. And he said, Dad, just let me slip in the back door. I promise I won't be a problem. I won't make a scene. Just let me live in the basement. I just want to be a servant. Let me climb in a window at night. Nobody will even know that I'm home. And the father says, Oh, no. You don't have to sneak in the back door. I'm going to march you through the front gate. What's this whispering all about? I want everybody to know that my son has come home. Get the robe. Get the ring. Spread the word. Strike up the band. Throw a party. How many know the Bible says there is joy in heaven every time somebody comes to know Jesus? You know, I used to hear people say the angels rejoice, but I read that verse. It doesn't say the angels rejoice. It says there's joy in heaven. You know who's rejoicing? The angels are scratching their heads going, what is this? He's welcoming them. You know who's rejoicing? We heard it at the opening of the scripture. It's our God who rejoices over us with singing. God's the one who's making the noise in heaven when somebody comes home to know him because he's celebrating that life. And so God beautifies our life with salvation. He beautifies our life. The Bible says in Psalm 149, verse 4, the Lord takes pleasure in his people and he will beautify the humble with salvation. Isaiah 61 and verse 3, he consoles those who mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. To what end? That he might be glorified. That's the reason. He does all of that. He beautifies our life for one reason, that he might be glorified. And he does it in this beautiful way of enabling us to do good things for others, to do good works. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they will see your good works and tell you how great you are. Oh, no, that's not what it says. It says that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So we understand that salvation is not by works, but it is for works. We saw this earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Watch what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation, let's say it this way, good works do not result in salvation, but salvation results in good works. Good works cannot produce salvation, but salvation produces good works. Salvation is not by works, salvation is for works. Salvation is not procured by works, but salvation produces and proves itself through the works. We read this in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people that are what? Zealous for good works. So how do we glorify God? We glorify God through the good that we do as a result of his good life in us. And when somebody, we see somebody in need, we step into that gap. When we see somebody hurting, we reach into that hurt. God dried our tears so we could see the other person's tears. God healed us so that we could be healers and reach to other people. And it's this is what we are created for. It says it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Watch it again. We are his workmanship, we're his poem, we're his work of art, we're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, this doesn't mean that God has like identified each and every act that you will do and has predestined that you will step into those things, but he's talking about the course of your life, the direction of your life that you take, the character of your life. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we have that same commission. As the Father sent me, so send I you, my people. Now go and do good. Be a blessing where you go. Be a blessing in the workplace. Be a blessing in the classroom. Be a blessing. Be a person who takes the initiative to do good, even when it's not acknowledged or rewarded, you know? I remember somebody had sung a song, and at the end of the song, everybody said, boy, that was really good. And the person said, well, that was the Lord. He said, well, it wasn't that good. It wasn't that good. Just if somebody compliments you, just say, thank you. God has been so good to me, and I just want to be good to others. I just want to share his life that is now living in me. So it's our responsibility to adorn the doctrines of God and make the gospel attractive. Let's not be the reason somebody turns away. Let's be the reason somebody wants to know more. Let's be the reason somebody else wants to engage. You know, we'll come up with ways, creative ways that you and I can be more vocal. Not that we have to be offensive, not that we have to be intrusive, but ways that we can simply shine the love of Jesus that is in our heart to others that are all around us. I'm almost done. I'm on my first closing. Almost. I didn't say I'm done. Almost. I am, though. I see the landing strips. I see it. Somebody's thinking right now, LTP, land the plane. Okay, I will. I got it. Listen, I'm done. Let me wrap it up with one final thought. I've often heard people say something like this. They say, you know what, I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful for everything Jesus has done for me. I just want to do something to repay him. You know, I'm just so grateful for the life transformation. I just want to do something to let him know how much I love him. But understand with me, listen, that any good we do has its source in him to start with. Any good I do doesn't come from me. You say, Jim, what can you do? I can get addicted to drugs and alcohol and plan to kill myself. That's what I can do. That was the result of my effort after 20 plus years of living. That's what I decided I could do. And then the new creation happened. Christ came. And so anything that's happened from then, any good, I can't take any credit. So if I say to God, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to do something good to show you. Actually, I have to draw upon his goodness to do the good thing. And so I become even a greater debtor to his goodness. Oh, help me this morning. I become even a greater debtor to his goodness because I am drawing on his goodness to be able to do good to you and to be able to do good to others in the beautiful, beautiful name of the Lord. And so I will choose to gladly and gratefully and eternally be in debt to Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me, and not to me only, but to all of us who know him. And to those of you who are coming to know him, whether here in this room or online right now. You know, it's as simple as Phyllis led us earlier. It's as simple as just realizing, wow, this God is not running away from me and has not turned his back on me. He's turned himself toward me. I'm the one that's running the wrong direction. And so right now, I just turn back around, and I want to be part of this body. I want to be part of this company. I want to be part of this house. I want to be part of this family. And it's simply by receiving the one who is the Father of us all, our God and Father, whose Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mediator of this new creation. It's simply opening your heart to them. Say, God, I repent of sin. I turn away from it. I'm going the wrong direction. I turn back into your love, and I receive it in the beautiful name of the Lord. Would you bow your heart with me, and let's just conclude our morning together. Father, I want to thank you for your church, your masterpiece. I want to thank you for the way you love your people and the way you love your world, your creation. I thank you, God, that you never have walked away. The Bible tells us you are in Christ, reconciled to this world. But now we say to each and every person, be reconciled to God. He's already dealt with the issue. Now you deal with it and turn to him in simple faith, believing and receiving all of the goodness and all of the grace of our God. Just do that in this moment and just allow this to be the beginning of a walk with God. There's friends around you and all of us are here to help you. And those of you who may be watching, there's a way to reach us. You can reach us and we will reach out to you. And we'll see God do a great work in your life that will have long-lasting fruit. I speak over this church today, Lord God, that we will be people who are zealous toward good works, that we will let our light shine before all men so that they might see the good work and glorify you in heaven, that we might lead many people to you through our good deeds, that we would tell them, the only reason I'm doing this is because of the life that is in me that enables me and strengthens me and helps me. I pray that that will be the part that each of us have in your love and in your grace. In the beautiful name of Jesus. As Marilee and I begin our ministry in this church, in this community, this will be our constant prayer for you. I want to put it on the screen so you can read it. It comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is our prayer. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, in our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We bless you with that blessing today, that the Lord will use you as a mighty force in this region, and God will knit our hearts together as His people to accomplish His purposes for His glory. Could you stand with me, please? As we come to a conclusion, if you would like to have an opportunity to pray with someone, there'll be folks here at the front to minister to you and just have a word of agreeing prayer. If you would like to sign up for a PIE meeting, a host home, there's information in our usher team, greeters team will help you find that information. Rattle the change in your pocket right now. You know what you're supposed to do with that before you leave today. Make sure you stop out and check out all the different areas that are on display. There's a lot of things we can be doing to do good, from Christmas shoe boxes on to simple invitations to invite people to join you in the house of God. But turn to the person near you and just say, I'm glad I came to the house of God today. Would you just tell them, say, I'm glad we're part of the family of the Lord. And I say now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace, His shalom, in Jesus' name. And everyone who received it said amen. Amen. Now go give it to somebody else in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. We love you and appreciate you. Thanks for your continued prayers for us in the season of transition. Come and receive prayer if you'd like right over here to this side of the altar.